This is not NPR, National Public Radio.
One warning and there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
And I'm Doug McBurney, host of the Weekly Worldview at KGOV.com. Sitting in once again, Bob, thank you very much.
You're welcome,
appreciate
Doug.
Appreciate the opportunity to speak to the nationwide audience.
Before we even get to the news, like for example, in Israel, a suicide bomber was foiled.
Yeah, foiled.
Foiled, he went into
Those
a cafe.
Those are the best kind.
Went into a cafe with a bomb strapped to him,
yeah.
And the owner and a security guard wrestled him outside, and they stopped him, and he had a bomb and wires and a detonator.
Wow.
The owner said, "You look like a Palestinian." And
so he racially profiled him right off the bat.
And saved a lot of lives, too.
Man.
Praise the Lord.
Wow, it's really intensifying. I think
in
45 Palestinians killed today in attacks by Israeli military.
It's moving toward all-out war.
Man, that's
but
intense.
We're not supposed to talk about that yet because we have some bringing people up to date and some emails.
Yeah, we got a lot of emails.
Yeah.
I got a ton of emails. Apparently you were spreading the word about the shadow government this week. I don't think you're supposed to do that.
That's true. It's an oxymoron to send out a press release from the shadow government. But we did, letting people know the shadow government, since it's been in the news everywhere,
yeah,
that Bush's shadow government,
mm-hmm.
Letting the world know that the shadow government has an official webpage.
That's right. And you got, in fact, apparently you sent this press release to Hannity and Combs producer.
Actually, one of our publicists sent that.
Oh.
Our PR guy, Ray Graybar.
Oh, yeah, Ray, the PR machine.
Up in Loveland.
He's great. Yeah, so he sent this out to Hannity's producer, James Grisham.
Yeah, Hannity and
Grisham,
Combs.
Grisham apparently answered your email. I can neither confirm nor deny receiving this email. that's from the producers.
That was good. That was a sense of humor from Fox News, Hannity and Combs. We have a pretty good relationship with that guy. He responds regularly to the material we send. So,
well, they do a good job.
So
over
that's
there,
good.
I suppose. Let's see here. Oh, I want to read the one from the... No, should I read? I don't know. I'm trying to debate which one to read first.
Yeah.
Another answer to your email from National Public Radio's.
Oh, no, we didn't email them.
Oh, why not National Public Radio? They need to know about the shadow government.
That's true. That would have been funny.
You know what it is, Bob? It's because you don't actually have their email address.
That's right.
Because you're a normal human being.
Well,
I'm sorry.
NPR. Don't you just hate NPR? I can't stand NPR.
Did you ever see the gag on Saturday Night Live that they did with the two ladies hosting the show about, I forget, it was about nuts and berries or something?
No,
It's the perfect, almost as funny as the bit you came up with at the beginning of the show, which a lot of people won't catch.
A lot of people won't get it.
They would think that that's some kind of actual disclaimer.
NPR is on in every city in the country,
right.
And a lot of conservatives just don't listen to National Public Radio.
Right.
And they've got a machine. It's a human, but they got a guy version and a female version. And the way they identify themselves, they say, "This is NPR, National Public Radio." It's just nauseating.
Oh.
Makes you want to just vomit. And a guy from Pittsburgh called me up, Chet. I think
yeah.
you know Chet. He
oh,
went to
yeah.
Israel with us.
Oh, yeah.
And Chet called up and he said, "Bob, please don't do that again. It makes me sick."
Well, I thought it was pretty funny. I heard it earlier in the week.
But Chet, sometimes for a joke, you just make people sick.
You have to take that chance.
It's painful. But
anyway, Bob, I'm pulling these emails off of here so fast. And
yeah.
I need to read through them before I introduce them. This is from National Public Radio, a program called Justice Talking.
Yeah.
I'm unfamiliar with it, I have to say. But the National Public Radio's Justice Talking is a one-on-one debate format program taped in front of a live audience.
And they're inviting me to
appear. And they're inviting
appear.
You to appear on Monday, March 18th.
March at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia.
Oh, boy.
So, hey, just us talking.
Just us talking. That,
the first thing I'll do on the show is correct. I'll say you introduced your own show wrong. It's just us talking.
Oh, boy.
You guys wouldn't know justice if you got hit with it.
And why is it just us talking? Well, because the show focuses, according to their email, on constitutional law and public policy issues. Right. And you know that's got to be just painful to listen to on NPR.
Yeah,
Let's policy wonk. Yeah. For about an hour.
So anyway, Hannity and Combs, NPR.
So the bottom line, the big question that's hanging out there, Bob,
what?
Is, I mean, do you want to take a step down in your career and appear on a national public radio program?
I would do it. If I could fit it into, I didn't even check the date.
March 18th. Which is a Monday.
Now I've got church on Sunday, March 17th.
That would be difficult.
Church is more important
but
than
But don't the NPR, NPR people, they don't do anything before noon, do they?
That's
I mean, you'd
true.
Have time to fly out there.
Hangovers.
Do the show.
You know that show, Fresh Air?
No.
On NPR with Terry Gross?
Of course not.
You don't
not.
Listen to that show?
Of course not.
Oh, that makes you sick.
I'm going to, what is it on?
She's on every day. She says, I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
I've got to listen.
And the way she says fresh air, it sends a chill down my spine. I picture her. You always picture what people look like on radio.
Mm-hmm.
I picture her as a demon in hell.
Oh.
And when she's saying the name of her show, Fresh Air, fire and brimstone, smoke is billowing from her throat. It's just fresh air.
All right. I'm going to check it out. Bob, in their email, oh, this is exciting, Bob. You might want to do this show. They're going to be taping a program on corporate punishment.
Oh, corporal punishment?
Well, they say corporate punishment.
They're going to finally punish
but then they put in
themselves
parentheses.
Corporately.
They put in parentheses.
Spanking.
Spanking. So just in case.
Corporate.
Yeah. Corporate punishment. You know, yeah.
It's from all their corporate sponsors.
Oh, man. Let's see. It'd be 90 minutes taped, and then they cut it to an hour. Who do you think gets cut most?
Yeah, right.
The only conservative with the guts to show up ends up on the cutting room floor.
Good
pick. Audience members will also participate.
Great.
That would be University of Pennsylvania students.
Right, and they'll be sharp.
Oh, they're going to be sharp as a bowling ball.
Yeah.
That's old. I'm sorry.
It'll be fun.
What are you going to do?
All right.
Anyway, so that's exciting.
But the fun email, forget Hannity and Combs, forget
is the
NPR.
One I wanted to read.
We got an email from a homo in California.
Now, do we have a tape of this guy actually reading this email?
No. No. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. We do. He called in and emailed it. Yeah.
Wow, Bob. You are so conservative. As a gay, socialist, atheist, I find your show offensive to the point of obscenity. But, man, I can't stop listening.
That's gross. Now, that grosses me out.
All
that
right,
makes
all
me
right.
sick.
Enough of that.
But
He can't stop listening.
He emailed this.
Yes, he did.
Look at the way he signed his name with the two little tildes on the front and the back.
Yeah, a tilde in the front and a tilde on the back.
Makes it look like he's got wings or something.
Well,
he's a little fairy.
He's a fairy. He says, Bob, the chatter, he says, is so good. I listen just for fun because you're so extreme. By the way, he has some advice for you, Bob.
Oh.
He says, if you would just drop your views and go mainstream, you could be huge.
Yeah, well, you know, he's touched on there and something we talked about years ago, that because of the views we take, because, let's say, for one example, condemning public schools, that makes it hard to grow the audience because so many Christian parents wrongly send their kids to public schools.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23. Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christlike, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Benyard rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child-rearing delivered by Pastor Benyard to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
Well, we're back. Bob Benyard Live, 1-800-8-N-YARD, 1-800-836-9278. Doug, you know the show we did with the abortionist in Denver, flushing the baby down the drain?
Yes, I listened to that program. That was hard-hitting radio.
Oh,
that was hard-hitting.
Painful just to think of an abortionist, a 15-week-old baby, and he puts him down the garbage disposal.
And then this is a doctor who presents himself as an OBGYN who's involved in
abortion.
In abortion.
Yeah, he kills kids. And his name is Dr. Tracy Downing.
Tracy Downing. You named his name on the air, Bob.
Yeah, sure.
I was gripping the edge of the couch.
And so the name of that show on our website, kgov.com, it's Down Downing's Drain. Mm. And it's terrible that what he does.
Aren't you worried that about getting sued? Or?
For what? By an abortionist? He told his worker, Renee, the medical assistant, he told her, he said, I don't want anyone knowing what we do here.
Ah.
So the last thing he's going to do is sue somebody. But we're going to show up at his office Tuesday morning at 8:30.
Oh, boy.
We're going to have a protest. We'll have a large group of people there. And we called the health department, and they called back, and we talked to them.
You got a response. I was wondering
about what's going on. In fact, we talked to a bunch of people at the health department and the water department and every department.
Yeah, that's usually the way that goes.
And what I'd like to do is play a clip. Now, actually, we'll just pop it in. We didn't prep it. We didn't edit it. It's when I called Cindy Parmenter. Actually, she called me back. Cindy Parmenter from the Colorado State Department of Health. She's the Director of Public Relations. And hopefully this is the right clip. So let's go to the clip. Now, so it's our phone is ringing. That's her.
Hello, Bob Benyard.
Hi, Bob. Cindy Parmenter. Sorry we keep playing phone tag.
That's okay, Cindy. Thank you for calling me back.
But you're welcome. Tell me about the situation, and I'll tell you what I know, and I can put somebody in, have somebody call you who's more of an expert than I am.
All right. Thank you very much. We do a nightly talk show that airs in five states around the country, including Denver, 1 hour a night. And we had a woman on two nights ago who said she's a medical assistant and went to work for a physician in Denver just a couple weeks ago and was somewhat shocked to see a couple things. One, the minimal concern about sterilization, and two, that he would dispose of medical waste down the drain.
I thought that was horrifying.
Yeah, we did too. We've gotten quite a response from our audience.
Let's stop it right there. Doug, that's the way most people feel about the thought. And I didn't even tell her. I didn't tell her that it was an unborn baby.
Right. You just said medical waste.
Yeah, fetus. I just wanted to know what are the regulations. And she's. If we go on in that conversation, she was very helpful. She said, well, let me let you talk to our expert on water regulations and on waste, and then get back to me, and we will launch an investigation. That's what she said.
Uh-huh.
Turns out they can't.
They can't launch an investigation?
No, because when I talked to the expert, and he was very helpful, and I didn't tell anybody it had anything to do with abortion, he gave me the Colorado statutes that are related to this, and it is not against the law to flush blood or human tissue or animal blood down the drain. He said, think about when you cook. And I had just cut off some trout, rainbow trout fish heads. Mm-hmm. And they went down the drain.
Yeah.
And he said, animal flesh, bones, blood, human flesh, think about in the homes. He said, the only real problem is if a hospital produces a large quantity, and then that could be a problem for processing.
Mm-hmm.
So they have special, you know, they take care of it in a special way, or a clinic or a doctor's office that produces a large quantity. But if it's a minimal quantity of matter, he says it's completely healthy, it's safe, there's no concern or danger about flushing medical waste, even infectious waste. It's fine.
Huh.
To flush it down the drain, that's what he told me, and we've got it all recorded, and he was very helpful. So what we ended up with is that this abortionist is doing this in his office in Cherry Creek.
Right.
Even if it's legal, it offends the sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
To flush a baby, put a baby down a garbage disposal. It just fills a good person with anger.
Wow.
So we're going to go Tuesday morning in Denver, and we're going to protest at his place.
Even though it's not illegal, you're going to protest.
Well, just we're going to protest him being a child killer, an abortionist.
Well, that, you know, I was trying to get to that is that, you know, killing a baby in Colorado is
not
illegal either.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so, legal.
But you're going to protest anyways.
We
and
sure
I can appreciate that.
We sure are. So the Department of Health, they were very helpful, mostly because they didn't know I was talking about an abortion.
Uh-huh.
So let's go to the phones in Rochester, New York. Dr. Wolf, you're on with Bob Enyart and Doug McBurney.
Well, Robert and Doug, I think you're rather offensive.
Hey.
Yeah, according to the fellow in California, he just thinks you're really offensive. Of course, they're offensive, too.
Right.
But, you know, being an old basketball coach, I've learned that you can't be just defensive. You've got to be offensive.
That's excellent. Yeah, and how could he be offended? I thought they believed in tolerance and diversity. Yeah.
Sure. Well, you know, the Bible says that ye are of your, not you, Bob, now, but ye are of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning.
Yeah.
He's a father of liars and a liar from the beginning. So
yeah.
They have lied. We have government that lies. We have the homosexuals that lie. Yeah, heterosexuals lie as well.
Sure.
But to lie and say that they have a lifestyle that is supposed to be accepted and that God was never against it, they're just blatant lies.
Right. Many homosexuals say that the Bible affirms their lifestyle, that it does not condemn them.
Oh.
And we're glad occasionally, like the lesbian we had on the show a week ago, Eva the evil lesbian.
Eva the evil lesbian.
I heard her.
You heard her.
Sure did.
She's evil.
She was forced to admit that the Bible verses she read condemned homosexuality. So it was good to get an admission like that from her, even though it'd be better to get repentance.
Right. Yeah. Talking about your abortion, Bob and Doug, we just had Pat Mahoney up here. He's quite a
Pat. Quite a speaker.
Go ahead.
He is quite a speaker.
He sure is.
Amazing.
He spoke at Rescue Rochester with Mike Warren, leader, and Jerry. I forgot what his last name was.
Jerry Janowski, probably.
But out here, of course, they've been arrested. The two leaders had to go to court, and I've got to get the results today and yesterday and the day before. But Mr. Elliot Spitzer, who is a real liar as well, gun grabber, but he was going after the instead of the Planned Parenthood and all that other mortuaries or abortuaries. He was going after the homes that were taking care of the mothers, you know, and with mothers
the crisis,
and so on.
Right.
But God gave us a great victory, and he withdrew his approach and went back where he was going after all of them across the state.
Wow.
To try to close those that take care of the ladies and in concert with them, and I forgot what we call it, Marilyn. I don't know what.
Yeah, the crisis pregnancy
centers. Crisis pregnancy, that's right. My wife.
Right. They defend the child killers, and they fight the pro-lifers.
But he's backed off, you say, Doc?
Yeah, he backed off.
So it's like one great man I know says quite often, he says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth.
I mean, somebody said that was the smallest insect in the Bible, but or the smallest, whatever, wicked flee.
Yeah. The wicked flea.
Dr. Wolf, since you are a doctor, I would like to ask you some for your opinion on something.
Yes, sir.
It's the last line to the offended homosexual's email.
Mm-hmm.
The last line in his email says to Bob, if you would just drop your views and go mainstream, you could be huge. What do you think?
Well, I've seen Bob's picture, and I don't even know how he could ever be huge. But he's a good-looking, healthy young man, and I think we're privileged to have Bob, you, and of course when you get Doug on, you guys laugh together, and I get pretty tired going through the day like you guys do, and yeah. If I get home and sit down, I don't turn the TV on or any of that garbage. I listen to Bob in the backyard. I mean the Enyard, Bob Enyard.
Right.
And my wife and I just enjoy it, and a lot of our folks are listening. I'm not doing that just to promote you, but I've heard, boy, if something happens and there's a click or something that comes into the IRN or some, a little bit of a hesitation, or you don't come right back in after right. the news, my goodness, I get a call.
Ah,
and I really mean that. But I, if you ever dropped it, you would renege on your spiritual responsibility to God. You know, we have a normal conscience even before we get saved. And I maybe not every one of the theologians would agree with me. And of course, we do not have a spiritual relationship
right.
with God, as you know. But once you become born again and you become saved, I believe along with your normal conscience that you have in the physical and the mental, I believe you get a spiritual conscience. And he's named the Holy Spirit. And if you did that, Bob, and you know, first of all, you probably could be big, and you are big, and the thing is, if you ever drop that, you are Doug. That's part of the good news of the gospel. That is, sir, you can be forgiven for your damnable, abominable sin for being a homosexual.
Right. Amen. Doctor, I want to thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, we had a good time. We enjoy listening to you.
All right.
And stay a little offensive, okay?
Okay, Dr. Amen, Wolf brother. From Rochester,
yeah,
Rochester,
bye-bye.
New York. And now, Doug, we're going to Honolulu.
Keep them coming.
Hawaii. The man who was on Politically Incorrect last night.
No, he was.
Knocked him dead, Jason Jones.
How you doing, Bob? How you doing, Doug?
Jason, how are you?
Conservative activist. Jason, you were fabulous on that program.
Well, you and Doug led the way.
Well,
come on.
You guys were the trailblazers, so I just followed on behind you.
Well, we've been on that show, but Jason, when that comes on late here in Denver, and everyone in my home was asleep,
okay.
And I stayed up to watch the show, and literally I was jumping up and down in my family room in front of the TV cheering that you were doing so well.
Well, I felt like I was back in public school.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right, Jason, I want to ask you.
Sure.
Did you go alone or did you have someone with you?
I went by myself.
You were by yourself?
Yeah.
So how was it hanging out in the green room before the show
and after?
Well, I got to say, the staff for Politically Incorrect, they were tremendous.
Yeah, I agree.
They were really nice. They were feeding me, fat, you know. But the girl, you guys will appreciate this, Shawnee Smith, God bless her, really. I mean that. She came up to me, and I don't know what...
Like, wait, which gal is she? There were two women on the show.
Shawnee Smith, she's an actress.
She's the blonde.
Yeah, she was
no
to
idea.
The left of me.
She was
no
the
idea.
One who was stoned out of her mind on the
no,
show.
Really.
I'm not an expert in those matters, but I had a hunch that something like that was going on.
She was stoned. At one point, who knows what she said, and Bill Maher said, well, I'm not sure what you said, but I'm sure it was a good point.
Well, and that's what really gave it the public school atmosphere.
Right. And then the other woman had a book that we don't even want to quote the title of her book, but it was a vulgar, filthy title of the book.
Sure was.
She's somebody's girlfriend, right?
Yeah, I don't want to say who that is, but, you know, she has a book, too. It's called How to Be Happy Like Me, and you could see she was really chipper.
Right, yeah. Right. And then there was the guy from Monty Python on.
Yeah.
Eric Idle.
There you go.
But Shawnee Smith came up to me before the you know, we're in the green room, and she goes, I just came out of it, and she was serious. She was trying to play head games with me. She's like, I just came out of the room with the producers, and they told me that the last time you were on, you weren't funny at all.
Ah.
I was not the last time. This was my
you had
time.
Never been on. All right, that's Jason. Jason, we'll come back to you
sure.
after the news. Denver, goodbye.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
Yeah, you must be them NYARC people. Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So this is George from Jersey. Out.
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart, so if you could give me a buzz. My name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website. And then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times. And, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't going to help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against n too, right? Yeah, n. Let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart.
Welcome back, Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. We got a call during the break, someone wanting to know if they can get a video of that show, Politically Incorrect. Jason, that cost a fortune.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that.
You gotta go to ABC on the web and order it, and it's about $100.
Wow.
But, so they, how about the transcript, though?
The transcripts are on the website.
Right, and they could always call your mom, because she made a copy, right?
My mom did make a copy.
So they
she's selling them for $99.
All right, smart mom. They could go to the Politically Incorrect's website and get it there for free. And it's worth reading it.
Well, maybe as a partner in crime, we ought to put a link there on the website like we've got for your shows.
Well, that's
we'll
a great
Jason's
idea.
Put Jason's show up there.
That's a great idea.
With your permission, Jason.
For sure.
Okay.
Whatever you guys want, go ahead and do it.
Jason, I love when you quoted Eric Idle, the Monty Python guy, when you quoted the line from his own poem to him.
He looked kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, and tell our audience what he wrote.
Well, it was the last stanza in a poem he wrote. It was from nothing to nothing, nothing lost.
Right, and that's a human being. From
it's,
nothing.
Yeah, it's about his life.
Wow, man, that's brilliant.
From
pretty
nothing.
Tragic.
From nothing to nothing, nothing lost.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that nihilism. It's,
that's his nihilist worldview right there.
Right. Yeah. And so what does it matter if you kill innocent people, rape, murder? It doesn't matter. Steal, Enron, what does it matter? Hmm. From nothing to nothing, nothing lost.
Yeah.
So he's a fool, but you did a great job, Jason, so thank you for doing that.
Well, you know, I just prayed a lot before I went on and figured the worst that could happen is I'd look silly to a bunch of liberals who watch the show anyways.
Right.
You can't do any harm.
Right, but you did a lot of good. You know why? Like going on NPR, what will be the sense of it?
You're not going to change anybody's mind.
The filth that'll be in the audience and the producers and on air. But there's a remnant of people out there who are looking to be encouraged. Mm-hmm. Or they're just looking for a tug to go over to the Lord's side.
Yeah.
So we're there to tug them into salvation. To say, these people are wrong. They're evil. It's just us talking. Listen to God and his justice.
Oh, that Bob's been invited on a show called Justice Talking.
Jason, you might not have heard that.
Yeah, where's that show?
It's an NPR National Public Radio. It's an NPR program.
So you probably never heard it.
No, you know, when I was in college, I always was required listening for a lot of classes. It was torture.
Oh, no.
You had to listen to NPR.
I listen to NPR. Have you ever heard Fresh Air, that program?
I think so.
With Terry Gross?
It's Prozac to the radio.
Her name is Terry Gross. I just
Hey, Jason?
Yes, sir.
Can you see if your mom will bootleg me a copy of that tape? Because I didn't get to see the show. I'm only hearing from you. I didn't know. How could you not have told me this?
Well, the thing is, because I'm really nobody, they kept saying, when I worked for Human Life International, they'd asked me to do the show, and I couldn't. HLI wouldn't let me. They didn't want.
Yeah,
they felt it was, you know, not appropriate for their message. But I said, once I leave there, I'd love to do the show. But they kept telling me I was going to be on it. They'd bump me. And finally,
all of a sudden,
the day before.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
That's it. The best people get on when you know you're the best when you're their final fallback plan. You're the last guy in the world they want to put on,
and
they have
the
to
best.
Call you.
All right, Jason, thank you. Anything else you want to tell the audience?
No, that's it. You guys were the trailblazers that motivated me to, you know, challenge the culture of death in the media. So thank you very much.
You did it.
Wow.
God bless you, Jason.
Way to go, Jason.
Talk to you soon. All right. All right. Now, what do you got there, Doug? Yeah, Spectator.
Speaking of the public school culture and all that, I've got this article that I wanted to do last week, but I didn't have time. But it's from the American Spectator, which is a fairly popular conservative magazine.
Yeah.
It's neoconservative.
Right.
It's not, you wouldn't call it moral.
It's not
anything.
God conservative.
No, it's not God conservative. It's man conservative.
It's the American Expectorate.
Oh,
but
no,
anyway.
Bob, I actually
subscribe
to this
magazine. It's fun.
You know what, Bob? They give this magazine to me for free.
Because you got a talk show.
Because you have a talk show, actually.
Well, you got one on Giga.
Well, but anyway, it's a long story. It's an article by Michael Kelly, who the editors at American Spectator, they say Michael Kelly edits a magazine whose name we can't remember. This essay originally appeared in the Washington Post.
Oh.
So they must get along pretty nicely with Michael Kelly to be able to say that. I don't really know who he is. Do you know who
he
is? No. But he's a pretty good writer. He's writing, he's writing about a young lady at Yale.
They have ladies at Yale these days?
He's talking about this chick at Yale.
A female.
He's talking about a female at Yale.
Yeah, that's better.
Her name's Allison Horenstein. She's a student at Yale, and she's written a column for the December 17th issue of Newsweek, in which she attempts to come to terms with what, for her and her friends at Yale, is the most troublesome question arising out of September 11th. What do you think that question is?
How to get back at the terrorists.
Oh, yeah, at Yale. Bob, the question that's on the mind of most of the Yaleys is, did somebody do something really bad here? That's the big question.
Come on.
At Yale.
Come
on. Yeah, Horenstein.
And wait, they're not even talking about the terrorists, probably. Go
right.
ahead.
I don't even...
Did anything happen?
Did anything happen, period.
What happened?
Horenstein writes that the initial response at Yale on September 11th was one of horror. While they were watching it on TV.
Right. And that wore off in a hurry.
Yeah. Now, in our inner column, we'll just read this brief excerpt. But by September 12th, as our shock began to fade, so did our sense of being wronged. Students' reactions expressed in the daily newspaper and in class pointed to the differences between our life circumstances and those of the perpetrators, suggesting that these differences had caused the previous day's events. This is September 12th.
The day later.
They're already...
Wore off quick.
It wore off really quick. She says that at some point... I'm sorry, Michael Kelly says...
The firemen in the building, really, they deserved it because they were evil firemen.
Well, there were some differences, some cultural differences that needed to be understood so that we could put this into perspective, and then we could understand the fireman's side and the hijacker terrorist side.
Right, and then they could understand the cultural differences between us and Al-Qaeda and the Anaconda, Operation Anaconda.
Right.
And so because of the cultural differences, we're bombing the living daylights out of them.
Right. And the folks at Yale are struggling with that right now.
Well, why don't they just understand it?
Hey, I got to ask you a question.
Just understand
I got to ask you a question about this Operation Anaconda.
Yeah.
Why is it that the media, the big story in the media is that we've lost, I think, 8 service members now?
8.
In what can only be described as a pretty big firefight. I mean, this is a big battle.
Right.
This is a World War II style
battle.
Maybe
1,000 opposition
fighters.
Forces.
If you do the math and you look at what's happened in the last week, this is an amazing victory that we've got them cornered and we're actually going in and killing them.
Right.
And we've lost some guys.
We've killed hundreds.
We've killed hundreds.
Thousands overall in the whole war.
Now, they've killed a few of our guys, and it's as if it's the end of the world.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Vietnam, what did we lose? 50,000 people.
50,000.
And Jane Fonda defeated us, but 50,000 lost. This, just like the Persian Gulf War, this is a new age of warfare for America where we have virtually casualty-free victories.
Yeah. But not completely casualty-free.
No,
but this
almost.
This is what I've been hoping for. We get them all the bad guys in one place and kill them all. Well, and we're doing it.
Well,
now.
I think it was on CNBC today. One of the hosts was just having a conniption because he heard that some men are getting into the battle zone to help Al-Qaeda. They're getting reinforcements. And he was so upset about it. He said to his military expert, this is so terrible. What are we going to do about this? And I thought, let's build a highway.
Let them all in.
Give them airfare. Anybody wants in, you're welcome. Go right in and help.
Come on in. The water's
the
warm.
The more the merrier.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not let every Al-Qaeda idiot terrorist in the world join in?
Yeah.
I would. I'd bring them there. I'd give them a gun if they said, well, only go if you give me a gun. Okay. I'd give them a gun and drop them off.
Yeah. And we could wipe them all out in one.
But that's how stupid cable news is. Who cares if more are going in? That's fabulous.
Just makes it a target-rich environment.
The same thing when we were fighting in Kabul and Kandahar and all that, and they were in a panic that caravans of men from Pakistan were headed in.
Right.
With their antiquated Kalashnikovs and all. Just go in. It was voluntary ethnic cleansing. That's what it was. The more the merrier.
Come on in, boys.
So what is this Yale female say?
Oh, yeah. Well, back to Yale. Michael Kelly writing in the American Spectator. He says, at some point after September 11th, listening to Yale students and professors offer rationalizations for the mass murder. You remember all the popular rationalizations. Poverty, the Middle East, U.S. foreign policy. Well, this young author, this young lady, she had an epiphany. She decided to write an article that some things were just wrong. Yes, even objectively wrong. Some things, she said, are objectively wrong.
So she's, that hit her. It struck her.
She's 20 years old. She's at Yale.
And she's
and
finally
suddenly,
figured out.
Suddenly.
Something is wrong.
She wrote in her article, just as we should pass absolute moral judgment in the case of rape, we should recognize that some actions are objectively bad despite the differences in cultural standards and values. To me, she says, to me, hijacking planes and killing thousands of civilians falls into this category.
To me.
She has to give a caveat
there.
Even when she's starting to get clear.
Some things are absolutely wrong, but to me, subjectively, even this is.
Bob Enyart teaches the Bible like few others, and one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, he carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah. And you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931.
Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible. You can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically. If you sign up by credit card, give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-NYARD.
We're back. We are back. Bob and Yart live. And Doug McBurney. So, Doug.
Yeah.
This is this Yale female.
Yeah. She fancies herself a writer now that she can judge.
But she's figuring out something here.
Yeah, she's
in that
along.
She's saying rape is an example that we can tell some things are absolutely wrong.
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge step for an Ivy League student these days to
right.
come to that realization. But you know what it takes? It takes a catastrophe and a collapse of the World Trade Center before these kids finally start to realize, hey, some things are just wrong.
Yeah, she's second or third year at Yale, and she's figuring out there's such a thing as right and wrong.
Wow, the education of the masses continues.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I wanted to ask you, since we were talking about the war.
Doug,
I
want you to know, maybe later, I've got Osama. He's offering America one last chance to surrender.
Oh, well, you should read that first before I get to this story about all the Al-Qaeda in prison.
All right, Dateline Tora Bora. An emaciated and heavily bandaged Osama bin Laden offered the U.S. a final chance to surrender Monday. Enemies of Allah, this is your last chance to leave Afghanistan alive, said a battered, soot-covered bin Laden in a videotaped statement broadcast on the Al Jazeera satellite network. I mean it. Staring directly into the camera with his good eye, bin Laden reiterated his vow to drive the U.S. from his country, the country. You may have dozens of bases in Afghanistan. You may have thousands of bombs, bin Laden said. But know this, we still have 3 or 4 guns and a full crate of bullets and some knives, I think. You cannot hope to prevail. A nearby goat herder then helped bin Laden brandish a rifle over his head. With every military advance you make, your forces become more spread out and weakened, while the Taliban's become more concentrated in an increasingly small place, bin Laden said, referring to Operation Anaconda.
Yeah.
You are practicing the mathematics of defeat. Give up now. The videotape was accompanied by a written statement that explicitly laid out the Taliban's instruction for surrender.
Uh-huh.
Men of the armies of Pakistan, Turkey, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, and Tajikistan, Americans of the 101st Airborne, 10th Mountain Division, 13th Marine Expeditionary Unit, 4th Special Operations Group, 8th Army Mechanized Battalion, SEAL Teams 4, 6, and 9, and aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson, you are hereby required to to report. Doug, would you stop laughing so I could do this? You are hereby required to report to the smoldering remains of our airbase southeast of Kandahar, the statement read. Turn your weapons over to Kamal and Azir. These two guys should still be there. Kamal will be the one with the bad limp. After you have been processed by them and your surrender has been accepted, you will be released and sent home as soon as possible. Please do not throw away any more lives in this useless struggle. Please, the noose is tightening, said Taliban leader Mullah Muhammad Omar, gnawing on a dead horse's hoof. With every Taliban soldier you capture or kill, your selection of enemies grows more limited, Our remaining soldiers, on the other hand, enjoy a virtually limitless array of Allied soldiers to shoot at. Before long, it will be virtually impossible for you to find someone to engage on the field of battle. Then victory will be ours. Omar then closed his eyes and began to rock slowly back and forth. According to Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, American military leaders are having difficulty locating the few remaining pockets of Taliban personnel, hindering U.S. efforts to force a surrender. It's so that's it.
Was that from Al Jazeera themselves?
Yeah, the video on Al Jazeera.
That's pretty funny.
That's good stuff.
That is pretty good stuff.
All right.
I have to compose myself. All right, I'm going to read this email.
Yeah.
Before we get to more stories of the war, because you can only laugh so much. This is, the subject is Lesbian Eva Strikes Again of this email.
Oh, brother.
And it's to KGov Live. Bob, I have never listened to your show before until now.
Okay.
And I must say, I'm sickened.
Oh, no.
Sickened, he says.
This is an email in response to the show where I talked to Eva the lesbian.
Eva the evil lesbian, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
We had so many Christians saying, praise the Lord, Bob. You told her that, you know, you told her the truth.
Yeah.
So what does this guy say?
He says, I'm sickened. I'm a Christian. and I can't believe the conniving evil things you said to that girl.
Conniving.
You said that she hates God? How can you make that conclusion?
I did say that she hates God. So he's saying, how can you make that conclusion?
Yeah, he's saying, how can you make that
conclusion? She's an unrepentant sodomite. that's for beginners.
That's definitely a red flag there.
Right.
Unrepentant sodomite.
Right.
Yep.
So in the Bible, it said most of the world hates God. So it's not all that difficult. But go ahead.
But Bob, who are you to make that conclusion? He says, how could you make that conclusion? And then who are you to make that conclusion?
Okay, so he asks me both questions.
Jesus was all about love. He never showed hatred towards anyone. As a Christian, I can understand your disgust with homosexuality, but my heart breaks as your heart is hardened. Well, for whatever that's worth.
Okay. Wait, he just said my heart is hardened?
He said his heart breaks because of homosexuality, but your heart, Bob Enyard, is hardened.
Who is he to make that conclusion? And how can you come to that conclusion? How can you come to it, and who are you to do it?
Bob.
Anyway.
Now, wait a minute. Be a little more sensitive.
People who say don't judge, judge.
That's a judgment. To make that statement is a judgment.
It's hypocritical. Yeah. And that's what Jesus said. Don't judge like a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Judge with righteous judgment.
Yeah, that's what true love is all about.
Tell the unrepentant sodomite he's going to hell,
right?
And don't condemn the Christian who warns the sodomite. Bob, but the only people getting condemned in the world are the Christians who warn the wicked.
It sure seems that way, except for this Tuesday morning, where it'll be an OBGYN who performs not back alley abortions,
no,
but secret, private, dirty little abortions in his OBGYN office.
All right. So
he's going to get harassed.
Now, what does this guy go on to say?
He says, Bob, my heart breaks while yours is hardened. I'm crying right now.
Oh, no.
That must be why there's all these tear stains all over this email.
Ah, I can't take it.
He says, I'm crying right now because Jesus says, love your neighbor. I've read Romans 1. I have studied it. I have a personal relationship with God, and I struggle with sin.
I think he's telling us something here.
Maybe a little limp.
Romans
in the wrist.
1 is the anti-homosexual chapter, one of the big ones.
So this guy recognizes, he says he recognizes God, and he struggles with sin.
Right.
Probably especially when he reads Romans 1.
So he's either a murderer or a homo.
Okay. So we've narrowed that one down.
Okay.
God says, this is according to this emailer, God says, I cast your sin from the east.
Okay, so he's trying to
he
make
says, I cast your sin from the east to the west. Mm-hmm. That's got to be embarrassing.
Okay, but anyway, people, when they email, they...
Right, he might have just mistyped.
Yeah.
So a sin is a sin is a sin. Now, he didn't make a mistake there. Bobby wrote it three times. He said, so a sin is a sin is a sin.
Right, and he's going to the all sins are equal
that
cliche.
Old card, yeah.
That the homosexual Tom from Indiana called in last night.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, all sins are equal. Mm-hmm. And then I proceeded to show him how, obviously, the Bible says the opposite.
Right.
But anyway... So all sins are equal, he says, and that way he can feel good about his homosexuality.
Sure.
He could say, you know, me being a sodomite is no real different than stealing a Tic Tac.
Right.
Exactly. So I could feel good about myself if I stole a Tic Tac.
Yeah, I could get over that.
Yeah.
So he can get over being a sodomite when he equivocates it in his own mind there.
Right. Okay, so what else is this?
He says, after a sin is a sin is a sin, how can you ever imagine to recruit people to God with so much hatred and rage in your heart?
Right. And the fun thing is, Doug, all the people who have come to the Lord through the show. I mean, mm-hmm. It boggles my mind how many. Yeah. Jason Jones,
the atheist
who was on Politically Incorrect last night,
that's right,
telling America, 1.5 million people tuning into that stupid show,
yeah,
that God's ways are the right ways and Hollywood's ways are destroying people.
That's right, and he was an immoral atheist.
So that's just one example.
And now he's a Christian.
Yeah.
And let's see here. Rage in your heart, all that. He says, I know God despises sin, I know. But he doesn't hate homosexuals. God is love. That is a truth, meaning God has no hate in him.
Oh.
That's according to...
God has no hate in him, except for all the places in the Bible where it says that God hates the wicked.
With a perfect hatred, even?
Except for all those verses, yeah. But we'll ignore those.
We'll leave those aside.
We won't challenge his biblical quotes.
Because he may have been having trouble with his keyboard.
Here's an instant message from H20PLS. The Eva call was great radio. It was fun.
Yeah.
Eva the evil lesbian. Okay, what else?
Let's see. God has no hate in him. He doesn't even hate Satan.
Oh, that's good.
And you know what's really good to know, Bob, is the next line in this email.
Yeah.
I love you, Bob, as tears run down my
face. Ah! I can't even take it.
As tears that's run just, down my face.
Ah!
May God bless your heart.
This guy has got to be.
I know once your mind is set on something, it most likely won't change. But God can part the sea. I'm sure he can tone down your tongue. Even if it's still in your head, okay, these people, these homosexuals you are causing to anger, and as a representative of God, it has to break God's heart too.
You know, God made a lot of people angry. Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you.
That's right.
And
that's what he said.
He was rather offensive. But all right, so how does he end it?
He ends it, of course, Bob, in Christ, Tia Lynn.
Tia Lynn?
Tia Lynn.
That's a female name.
Yeah,
Tia Lynn. I thought this was a guy writing all this.
Oh.
Tia Lynn?
Well, wait a minute. Tia Lynn, 17, female, West Palm Beach, Florida.
What?
That's how he said
it. I never read that. I didn't read through the whole thing. Tia Lynn, that's a woman's name.
17-year-old female?
17
is that what that's supposed
slash
to mean?
Female, West Palm Beach, Florida. This is a homo. This is a homo.
That's not Tia, huh? You're not buying that?
Tia Lynn.
Tia Lynn.
You know, women don't put on their email that they're 17 slash female
right.
On the internet.
No.
I mean, they'd be attacked at their home.
Bob, have I been had?
West Palm Beach, Florida. Oh, no. Look at his email ID.
The email ID.
Look it. Read it.
Is,
I didn't see that either.
QueenWeasel101. QueenWeasel. 101.
This is a homo. This is a homo who goes by the name of Tia Lynn.
I tell you what.
Female from West Palm Beach.
Bob's gaydar is highly sensitive. Don't try to run anything like this if you think it's going to get in.
Here's an instant. Oh. I got an instant message, a homo, and worse yet, a voter. And here's this instant message. Bob, this email is heartbreaking. My keyboard is soaked with tears. And
you've got a bright audience.
The instant messages are just popping in here at the end. Don't feel bad about being accused of being a hater, says this IMer. I posted the AIDS statistics for the U.S. and was accused of hating and threatening the life of a homosexual.
No.
The homo responded with a death threat.
All right.
Oh,
King
look.
Weasel.
A homo voter from West Palm Beach.
A homo voter from West Palm Beach.
Got the Al Gore chads.
Oh,
no. No wonder we had all
so
that.
So Queen Weasel gets his 15 seconds of fame right here.
Right here.
And maybe he'll send us something with his real name.
On the Information Radio Network.
Bob Enyart Live.
KGov.com on the web.
Oh, yeah.
So, hey, it's been fun, Doug. Thank you
it's
for another.
It's always a great time on Friday night, Bob. Thank
another
you so
Friday
much
night. You know, IRN got mad at us when we switched your show to Friday night here.
Why? I thought it would work better.
Because the guy in the control room didn't work Friday nights, and he said, I want to hear that show.
Remember.
So thanks, everybody. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.